going to talk today on, I've entitled the theme anyhow, Are You Feeling Hungry? When you get that, Esther, that'll be great. Hey, we've got some hungry people here. Dear, we have a very interesting day on Thursdays in the office. But do you know what, Wednesday night, I never look forward to that next day this year. It's been one of those things, hasn't it? I'm thinking, oh, no more food until the evening. And in the office, of course, we all just keep ourselves up to it. So some people might have been thinking, we'll have a little nibble today. But we can't have a little nibble because we're all there together fasting with churches across the world for breakthrough, for revival, and for God to come. Thursdays, I'm feeling hungry. And Wednesdays, I'm not looking forward to the next day. But do you know what? We've only got one more to go this year. Isn't that exciting? And we've got January off, at least until Bogota, and then we'll hear what we've got to do next year. But we've got a few weeks off, so hallelujah. But it's good, actually, isn't it? It's good. Fasting's good. It's a good discipline. And it's good health-wise as well. So it's been good. So are you feeling hungry? Andrew is and Jim is. Hallelujah. Psalm 107 tells us this. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. So I want to ask you a question today. How is your spiritual appetite? Are you still hungry for more? Or are you satisfied? No. We've got two hungry for more and two which aren't satisfied. I think this is going to be a great church. Or to put it in words of recent LifeSpring speakers, have you lost your sharp edge? Do you remember that word? Gone a bit blunt? Or last week, are you still living dangerously? Are you still living on the edge? Because you see, appetite is a sign of health. We talk about having a healthy appetite. We had a guy living with us last year. What was his name? Daniel from Hungary. From Hungary. Was it Hungary? No, it was Hungary, yeah. He was hungry. And we were amazed how much Daniel consumed. He had a healthy appetite. And every so often, Jackie feels a bit guilty now when she thinks of the little portions that it seems like we had compared to what he would have wanted, because he always came in hungry. But having a healthy appetite, it's good. It means that you are good, you're healthy. And when we lose our appetite, it's a bad sign. It means something's not quite right. You're sick. And of course, if you don't eat, eventually you die. But it's really hard to eat when you feel full, isn't it? It's really hard to eat when you're not fancying what's in front of you. And of course, it's the same spiritually. If you've lost your appetite for spiritual things, something's wrong too. It's a sign you're spiritually sick. Oh, I've just got to say, this sounds a bit heavy, doesn't it? I've just got to say, I thought Sarah did such a good job last week, bringing such a challenging message to us, but with such grace. And I didn't feel condemned in any way at all. I felt challenged, convicted, inspired to live more dangerously. And my prayer is, as I'm talking today, that you'll receive grace from me too. Not heavy, not condemning, but I just want to encourage us. If you have lost your spiritual appetite, something's wrong. It's a sign you're spiritually sick. And if you don't feed on spiritual food, you will eventually die spiritually. So I ask again, are you feeling hungry? Yes. Four or five of us now, hallelujah. Sometimes there are reasons for not eating or feeling hungry. I remember Mum telling us as children, don't eat that now, you'll spoil your dinner. And so we had to put aside the packet of crisps or the chocolate biscuits or the ice cream because we were so close to having a meal. And if we'd eaten those sort of food just beforehand, that nice meal which Mum had prepared for us wouldn't have been appreciated, and probably wouldn't have even been eaten because we were full of other things. And again, it's the same spiritually. Sometimes we fill our minds and we fill our hearts with so much stuff. Our thoughts are on football, on films, on fashion, on our career and our work, on Facebook. And they fill us up like crisps and chocolate biscuits. And then when it comes to spiritual things, there's no appetite because we come to God's table already full. And instead of enjoying that nice steak that the Lord's provided for us, sorry if you're a vegetarian, you know, the word of God, the worship, and bringing our best, and giving generously, and all these aspects of showing love and commitment to the Lord, we just have a nibble here and there, and we leave most of it, and half-heartedly respond to this nice dish on the table because we're not hungry. And it's not good. The psalmist says, he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. It's good to be hungry. Isaiah says, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Don't know how you do that without money, but anyway, the inference is there. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? In other words, why are you putting so much energy and stuff into things that ultimately don't satisfy? Jesus puts it this way. It's like, why are you building up treasures on earth, which rust and moth will destroy, when actually you could be building up treasures in heaven? But Isaiah goes on to say, listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. Do you notice the promise? The promise of blessing. The New Living Translation translates the finest of fare. It talks about your soul will enjoy the finest of food. Not just a McDonald's. But steak and all its trimmings, the nicest of wines, no expense spared, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit are available to us all if we're thirsty and if we're hungry for Him. It's abundant life. Do you notice who gets it? It's those who are hungry. It's those who are thirsty who get the reward, who get the blessing of the Lord, who get their healing, who receive their freedom. And the sense of the joy of His presence is those which are hungering and thirsting after Him. So I've got a really complex and deep prayer, which I think we really need to pray regularly. Lord, keep me hungry for You. Lord, keep me hungry for You. Never let me get satisfied with my experience of You. And if that hunger remains in our heart, we will do much more for the Lord and for ourselves than we will be for somebody who's lost their hunger. Now, maybe we didn't understand that spiritual hunger is good. But I've noticed that there's some here in the church hardly ever respond to anything. Any opportunity for prayer or ministry, it never occurs to them that they might receive something from the Lord. And it's like, well, we come to sell, we come on Sundays, we do this, we do that. But God wants to give you more. He wants to give you more. And sometimes there's more at the front than there is at the back, sometimes. Because sometimes there's people here which will pray and impart more. Sometimes there's opportunity to receive healing and wholeness and freedom when you respond. But it's only if you're hungry. If you're not hungry, you could very easily leave this room the same way that you came in. But when our hearts are for the Lord, we can receive all that He wants for us. Everything could be different. It's the hungry who get filled. And it's the hungry who bear fruit in their own lives and in the lives of others. Lord, keep us hungry. Keep us hungry for You. Now, I appreciate a bit of spiritual tension. To be hungry, to be thirsty for more, And yet at the same time, the promise is that he satisfies us with the good things. So we've got a tension here, haven't we? That it's good to be hungering and asking God for more and at the same time be satisfied with what he gives. But do you know what? I always try to look for an opportunity to respond. Maybe I shouldn't say always. 95% of the time. I try to look for an opportunity to respond in meetings or wherever I am. Because I want more than what I've got. And I know I need more than what I'm experiencing. And so if there's an opportunity, and the appeal at the end of the meeting or whatever, in any way applies, and I mean, Jim goes whether it applies or not, but I mean, and that's hunger. But if it applies in any way, then I want to be there. Because I believe in impartation. I believe God can change me as I have hands laid on me or as I respond to him. And I also believe in the impartation of the servant of the Lord and that he can impart something to me, either directly from God or through somebody else. I can reap major benefits because I know I'm not there yet and I need more. That's hunger. And I want to encourage you to be hungry. Here's a simple observation. What you hunger for will never satisfy you. If it's football, you'll always want more. If it's clothes, you'll never have enough. If it's a posh car, there'll always be a better model. If it's career satisfaction, there's always going to be another step. And even if it's God, there's always more too. So let's create an appetite for eternal things because they will last forever. The rest we will leave behind. The only thing we take to heaven with us is souls. And maybe that should give us a little indication of the sort of focus that the Lord expects in our lives. Now here's another reason we may not be so hungry or responsive from Mark. Mark chapter 2, verse 16. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, that's Jesus, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Actually, I was going to say that's the likes of you and me, but in this context, it probably wasn't. We're a bit middle class for who Jesus was meeting with. He was meeting with the lower classes. And the Pharisees were more middle class, and they were thinking, why is he meeting with them? On hearing this, Jesus said to them, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Another reason that we're not hungry for God, we think we're okay. We think we're healthy. And Jesus says, I've not come for you then. And you should be feeling a little bit of an ouch in your heart. In the context here, it's really salvation. Jesus died for everyone. But Jesus is in effect saying, only those who recognize their need will get saved. Those who think there is no God. Those who think they are good enough. Those who think their religious works, whether it's going to church or being baptized or confirmed, or even believing in God, doesn't get you to heaven, by the way. Demons believe in God and tremble. Those who think that all of that stuff's enough, they're not hungry. They don't need a saviour. They think they're okay as they are. They think they're healthy. And they're going to be in for a mighty shock. Because one day, they're going to realise that all those good deeds are just like filthy rags compared to the righteousness and holiness which is required to get into heaven. That's why Jesus came. But if you think you don't need a saviour because you're pretty good, you don't need Jesus. And that's what Jesus was challenging here. That's what he was challenging them. But according to the gospel, if they don't receive the Lord as their saviour, they will never inherit eternal life and restoration and reconciliation with God. And that's serious. Many people, I think, are going to be in for a shock. There might be some sitting here. But I've got good news for you. You see, it's only faith that saves us. It's only faith that saves us and gets us into heaven. But many in our affluent culture aren't even in that category. They've no time for God. They've got no need for God. They think they're healthy or righteous. Those who are aware of their spiritual need, on the other hand, their plight, their messed up life, their poverty, whether it be material or spiritual, they are open to God. And they are the ones, Jesus came to save everybody, but he says here, but they're the ones that I've come to meet and I've come to reach. Because they recognize in their heart there's a need. And that, to some extent or another, still needs to be us. We still need to realize we need him more than where we are at the moment. Have you ever wondered why Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit? Have you ever wondered why he said, blessed are those who mourn? Blessed are those who are meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. What a strange thing to say. How can that make you happy? How can that make you blessed? If you're mourning or if you're hungry or if you're poor. But Jesus said, you're blessed because when you recognize that need, the kingdom can come and meet that need. You're blessed if you realize you need me because then I can come to you. But if you don't realize you need a savior, if you think you're okay as you are, don't ever come to the front for any response to prayer. I'm fine, thank you very much. Don't ever respond to the gospel. You think you're okay. Jesus hasn't come for you in that sense. But when you realize the need and the poverty in your heart, he says, you're blessed. You're blessed because you're going to be open to the things of the kingdom of God. We need to be blessed like Jesus is referring to there and continually open to the things of the kingdom of God. When you're aware of your need, when you're aware of your need, you become open to God meeting your need. And that's where we need to be, church. Never ever think you've arrived, because once you think you've arrived, you don't need God. You can thank him for the past, but I need him for the present and the future. We need to be dependent on him. Hallelujah. Jesus said, be blessed if we recognize that need. If your need is forgiveness of sins, if your need is reconciliation with God, if your need is because your life is such a mess and there's no assurance of salvation, no relationship with God, then today I've got good news for you. Today Jesus wants to come to you and meet that need right here in this hour. And you can leave this place having that need met because you've recognized it's in your heart and he can come and fill that need for you. Salvation, it's totally free. Costs you everything, but it's the best life worth living. You can have that need met today. Hallelujah. But let's look at the passage a little bit more literally, because this is, Jesus wasn't just talking about, well, he's talking about salvation, but he's talking about being healthy. He says there, life spring. If you think you're healthy, I'm saying life spring, you don't need a doctor either. I received a revelation the other day. Probably most of you have got this already, but I realized I will never be totally healed and whole before Jesus comes back. Do you know, I didn't realize that before. It's not twigged before. I thought I was pretty good, pretty okay. Lord's done a lot of healing and stuff in my life. But then I realized, but I'm not whole. I'm not complete. I'm not seeing too many people raised from the dead yet. I'm not seeing too many miracles happening in my life. There's more. There's more to come yet. There are times when I'm still falling and sinning and failing. There's more to come. I need more power, more life, more love. There's times when I don't feel compassionate or loving. I need him more. Do you understand what I'm saying? And this side of Jesus coming back, I'm not sure we'll ever reach that top place. So we're on a journey saying, I need him more. I need more of you until we get there, until he makes us completely complete and holy. And that's how we get into heaven, by the way, because it's through his holiness and righteousness. It's too high for us to ever attain to. So I hope that's not a shock for you either, but you're not perfect yet. None of us are completely whole in our emotions and in our mindsets. You see, physical sickness, and we prayed for some today, that can affect our ability and restrict our ability. But spiritual sickness, I think, is even more powerful in limiting what God can do through his people. If you're alive today, you will have been hurt. I was thinking, when do you start getting hurt? You get hurt as a little baby. And all the way through life, we get hurt. Too many possibilities to mention here, but here's a few. It could be a broken relationship. It could be a parent's divorce. It could be your own divorce. It could be an abortion that you had. It could be you felt betrayed by a close friend. Could be physical, sexual abuse, neglect of parents, bullied at school. There are so many things in life which will have hurt us. I'm not prophesying, it's just inevitable, it happens. We will have been hurt. And if you've been emotionally hurt, it will come out at some time or another and inflict somebody else unless you're healed. I call it coffee. You can blame everyone you like, but they didn't put the coffee in the cup. They simply knocked the cup over and the coffee came out. Do you understand the picture? You know, the circumstance, the situation, the person. Don't blame them. You may have knocked into them and spilt the coffee, but the coffee was in the cup. They didn't put it there. We need to get rid of the coffee so that we can be whole and healed and fruitful and able to be more of a blessing to God. Here's two scenarios very quickly to imagine. Supposing we had a beautiful weather, English summer, 25 degrees, we're in the park, 100 of us there having good time, picnics, enjoying our food and fun and fellowship, having jokes, laughing around. Then we decide some of us will have a game of rounders. So we pick two teams, or a whole bunch arrive, and two people have got to pick the teams. And if you're like me and you're one of those captains, you're thinking, I want the team that's going to win. So I'm going to be looking for the more sporty, athletic type who are going to help me to win the team. And maybe the other captain is thinking the same. So we're not really competitive, but deep down we probably are. And there's people in this group which aren't in that category at all. Probably they're turning up with high heels even, you know. They're not even ready for a game around us. And as the people get picked, somebody there is beginning to think, I know where this is going. Been there before. I'm not going to be picked. And before it gets down to that last three or four people which are picked, they've stormed off. They've not said goodbye to anybody. They have just gone home. They are so upset with that church. They're so uncaring. They're so unloving, so inconsiderate. Not enough responders in that church. If they understood where I was coming from, they would realize that, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. What a rubbish church that is. I mean, they had a brilliant time until then. The coffee is the rejection, which was already in the cup. The coffee wasn't the fact that somebody was picking a team which didn't immediately include them. That was the circumstance. That was the knock which spilt the coffee. Do you understand what I'm saying? The coffee was there because the past hurts and pain in the past, really bad pain possibly, they need to be healed. That coffee needs to come out of the cup so that they can be whole. And next time they come there and they're having the same sort of scenario, they may still have their high heels on and feel like not the immediate person that you choose to play, but it doesn't worry them now because they're healed. They know that they're accepted. They're fine. The coffee's gone. Or another scenario. This could happen next week. I hope it doesn't, but, you know, actually it won't. But I'm taking Stella as an example because Stella used to sort out the carol concerty things. And Stella has that really good gift of being a little bit of a boss. And she organises stuff and tells people, are you here, Stella? Yeah, she's there. Okay. So she tells people what to do, what needs to be done. She's got it all planned, all thought out. She's Mrs. Organiser at the best. And so we have a whole lot of people, they're thinking, well, what can I do, Stella? How can I help? And you've got the grand jobs up here of sorting out the PA and they're doing this and practicing this, that, and the other. And she says to somebody, well, can you go and clean the toilets? Or can you go and clear up all those tables away from the back? They need to be taken out of the out of this hall to make space. Didn't even say please. I didn't want a job like that. Who does she think she is? There's me coming to offer. I'm a volunteer. And she's just said, can I go and do that? Off he storms. 20 minutes later, Stella thinks, stuff's still there. Toilets are still unclean. What's the problem? Coffee has been spilt again. What's the coffee this time? Real problem with authority. Real problem being told what to do. It's all right if it was what I wanted to do, but I really didn't have in mind doing that. But Stella knows the overall picture. She knew what needed to be done to make that possible. And so for him, that little person there, it was important that that particular stuff did. A reaction in the heart doesn't even come back to the carol service because they've been hurt. Don't blame Stella. Don't blame the church. It's coffee. Do you hear what I'm saying? It needs to come out. Jesus wants it to come out. He wants to heal us. He wants to make us whole. You've all gone quiet on me, but I hope you can understand where I'm coming to. I'm really excited about all the opportunities the Lord's giving to us as we move down into the Oxford Road and our new building. I want us to be ready. And to make us even more ready, we need to empty these coffee cups and be clean and holy and right for all that the Lord wants to do. All our hurts, all our offences, all those negative mindsets, all those unresolved issues will restrict us from being fruitful. Our ministry will be contaminated. If we're not healed, it affects our marriages, affects our relationships, affects the view of authority, you know, not in the church, but at work, wherever it might be. It affects you, how you see yourself and how you see others. It affects your worship, your service, your ministry. Your whole life is infected when there's coffee in the cup. The Lord wants us to recognize where there's coffee so that we can be healed. If you think you're healthy, you just keep the coffee. But there's an opportunity for us to receive from the Lord, not just today, but over the weeks and months ahead, that the Lord can minister healing, freedom. You've heard me say this before, haven't you? I believe it's from the Lord. I believe we need to hear it as a church. So think for a moment. Why do authority figures bring the worst out in you? Why do you find it hard to receive praise? Why do you find it hard to be open and honest and vulnerable? Why do you struggle with bad habits and addictions? Why do you always feel left out and isolated and insignificant? It's because of the stuff which is in the heart, which the Lord wants to release and bring healing to. And the first step is to recognize, I'm sick. I do need a doctor. And the doctor is the Lord. That's the first step to receiving our healing. You can come week after week after week, month after month, and be exactly the same place because you don't recognize that what's down in there, the Lord wants to take out so that you can be more for him and serve him better. So we need to admit it. We need to acknowledge it and receive help. I'm just to end up with a couple of stories, really, but you know, Jesus says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. A few years ago, some of you will know, but we went through a really difficult time here, and I, for one, was really hurt. I know others were too. And I was sharing with my pastor colleagues in Reading and my friends, you know, my perspective, no doubt. Others would have a different perspective, but how it felt, how it was. And as I was speaking, I knew what was coming out was pain. I knew what was coming out was unhealedness, just the pain, the hurt of what I'd been through in the weeks and those recent months. And do you know what? I couldn't stop it either. I went there fully intending to speak nice and calmly and quietly and just to explain. But there was something that was there. Because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if it's in there, church, it will come out. You okay? You okay? Just coming out, yeah. If it's in there, it will come out. And we can pretend as much as we like. You're fine. It will come out. Others will see. Others will notice. And do you know what? If it's not always with words, it will come out in your facial expression. And there'll be a pain there. And you'll wonder, why don't people just come and give me a hug? Why don't they want to come and talk to me? You should look in the mirror. You'd see why people don't come. Because there's pain reflected in your face. And as much as we'd want to come and give you a hug, the sense is that it'd be a bit prickly and we'd be pushed away because there's so much hurt still in here. The Lord wants it out. The Lord wants it out. That's the good news for you today. This is the gospel. The Lord wants to bring healing. But you need to recognize. You need to recognize that you need a doctor. Hallelujah. The more healed we are, the more fruitful we will be. And God's looking for fruit. Lots of it. So I want to close where I started. How hungry are you? How desperate for God? He's come for everyone. But it's only those who are aware of the need who will receive his touch. I've majored on wholeness and healing because I feel that's what the Lord's putting on my heart for me and for you. But it's whatever that perceived need is, he wants to meet. Hungry for God could be hungry for more of his presence and you just felt distance. It could be more of his anointing because you felt inadequate. It could be more of his power because there's a lack of release in your life. It could be more of a sense of his love. You know, I've just never felt those arms of love. Hunger for God could be a compassionate heart. It could be many things. But unless we recognize that we need more of him, if we just remain complacent, we will never receive. But the good news is he's come for people like you and he's come for people like me. Just want to close with this. Oh, wait, what's that say? God wants you healed because he loves you. And he wants you healed because hurting people hurt people. But he doesn't want you to hurt people. He wants you to heal people. His touch through you. His light through you to bring healing and wholeness. This isn't a very good picture. I'm just going to end with this story of Bartimaeus. The musicians are on their way, brilliant. Bartimaeus was blind. He was very aware of his need. And what I like about Bartimaeus was he was desperate. Even his friends said, "Don't bother the master. He hasn't got time for you." You know, he'd been a beggar all his life, blind all his life. But for Bartimaeus, there's my opportunity here. I could receive my healing now. If I could just get hold of one touch from him, I know the rest of my life could be so different from the past. And it says he threw the cloak off him. He pushed his friends aside. This is my imagination anyhow, who were trying to restrain him and tell him to be a little bit more orderly and decent. He just threw them aside. He said, son of David, have mercy on me. He was hungry. He knew there was a need which God could meet. He didn't know how many more times Jesus was going.